Okay, let's finally get to the topic, because I'm actually like genuinely very curious. So, you told me that you got your first DEXA scan last week. Was it last week? I think. Tell me about it. What was your experience? Also, explain like the procedure in detail, because obviously I've seen it like online. These like fitness YouTubers doing like the DEXA scans, and they go into these like doctor's offices and they lay on some kind of thingy or they stand on something. Like, walk me through the procedure and every detail. Yeah, step by step.
So, it was Thursday. So I found a place online because I couldn't find barely any places they did it in Madrid, which is weird because it's the capital of Spain and it's not like a weird thing. But I think it's not actually that common. So I called and I went like the same day, because I thought they would take like some time to give me the results, so they gave it to me like immediately. So I went to the doctor's office. It was like this small room with this big machine, and I had to take my clothes off and wear this like paper thingy. Like, it was kind of like a robe, but yeah, it was paper. So you just lay there, and it was like 10 minutes. So it was this big screen thingy. It just like scans your body, and it takes like 2 minutes for like body part. I don't know, it just like goes very, very, very slowly, scanning your whole body, and then it goes back, and like that's it. It was 10 minutes. The doctor does nothing. It's just he just switches on the machine, and then he gave me a paper. He told me nothing. He just gave me the paper with the results, and like I don't know if it's here, I can show you, but you can find it online. It's basically a scan of your body. So in one side it shows you like bone density, and then the other is like body composition. So I was interested in the body composition part. I looked at the bone thing, and it said, so that it gives you like a graph of your bones if you're in the normal range, and I was in the normal range. So like I kind of
Yeah, that's good. But I mean, it looks like you actually made the intentional or the initial or took the initial action to actually search for like a doctor's office where you could do the DEXA scan. Where did that come from? I mean, like both of us, I think that should be clear by now. If any of us, like anyone has ever listened to any of the other episodes, like both of us are pretty like health and basically like health enthusiasts. So, and I think I don't know if we've ever talked about DEXA scans so far, but we've talked like about different things. Like, but what made you actually go online and Google DEXA scan in Madrid? What was the reason? Were you scared of something, or scared of some disease, or did you like knock on your bone and then it felt like hollow or something? What was the background?
No, so basically, this summer, yeah, like last year, I was trying to make like a meal plan with macros and everything, just to like accompany my gym part, and then actually have something set that I don't really have to think much about, just cook and knowing that it's the right portions and everything. So for that you had to there's different formulas for the calories you have to take, and then the protein and everything, but it all like goes around your body fat percentage, and you can kind of estimate that with your weight and like online calculators, but it's not that accurate, because normally some of them take into account your waist circumference and like your waist and your hips. I think that's what it takes into account. I'm not sure if it's that. And your neck also. So, but then others just your weight, your height, and your age. So I kind of did like an average of all of them. And it wasn't that accurate.
Very mathematical here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also your body fat percentage. So it's basically, so your body, like you have lean mass, you have your fat, and then you have your bone percentage. So most of it should be lean mass, and then your body fat percentage should be, for women, I know the healthy amount is like between 18 and 25. That's like the normal amount.
But that's in percentage, right?
That's in percentage, 20-something percentage. So my estimate was around like 22 or something like that. So, but it was, I wanted it to be accurate. And also, I'm listening to the audiobook Outlive, you know, the book by Peter Attia. Yes. I love, I have like a third left, I think. And it's very long. It's like 16 hours long or 20 hours long. So it's that's quite insane. Long.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's very interesting. And he does talk about DEXA scans, and he advises like all his patients to get one every year. Basically, because a DEXA scan tells you adipose tissue, I think. Well, there's a certain kind of fat that you can't really see. So it's like around your organs. Then there's this subcutaneous fat, which is the fat like you can like actually push, you know, like if you pinch your stomach, that's subcutaneous fat. So you can be skinny, or you can look healthy, but then half that the adipose tissue or visceral fat, I'm not sure what it's called, I don't remember, which is like that's quite unhealthy. So people with low weight and high body fat percentage have like higher risk of heart disease and organ disease in general. Like it's not good, and diabetes. So normally obese people have more visceral fat, well, they have more fat in general, but you could think you don't have that much fat and actually not be that healthy. I also wanted to know that, because with those calculators online, you can't really know the fat like underneath. So it was kind of a combination of that. I wanted to calculate, you know, for my macros and everything, and also I wanted to know about like the health aspect. So for me, I went into it thinking I'd have higher lean mass percentage like than average, because I go to the gym. So I thought, well, my weight is normal and I go to the gym, so it should be. So
should be all muscle.
No, but like at least more. And I was, and the online calculators did say something like that. So I was kind of surprised, and it was a shock that my body fat percentage is quite high, which I'm still processing, because it's like high, it should not be that high, and I'm like on the verge of having so there's on the visceral fat thingy, there's like three separations, so it's like fine, a bit of risk, and then high risk of heart disease and like things like that. And so 100 is the separation between like the green and the yellow, and I'm in like 98. Which like I was so surprised, because I don't know, I don't understand. I lead a healthy lifestyle, I go to the gym, I eat quite like good foods, I don't know. So I was still trying to process all that. When I got home, I just left it for the day, because I had to like look everything up and like understand what everything actually was, because there's other things. I really want to show you the paper thing, but I don't have it. I'll send it to you later, because I did sign it. But I don't know, there was a lot of things. And then on Saturday, I sat down and looked up what everything was and what mattered. So I came up with this term called skinny fat, which you might
have. Yes, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, okay, so that's basically like what I am, but I don't understand, because they say normally people, so in the body composition part, I classify as one of those. But then they say normally those people like do tons of cardio and then cycle through diets and things like that. So their body weight is not that high, but their fat percentage is higher. So, but I literally like barely do any cardio except from like walking everywhere, obviously. But it's not
okay.
Excessive.
But say that these people, so the skinny fat people, which is also a term I've heard of before, does it say, you mentioned, just for clarification, does it say that these people do cardio and like dieting?
It could be because of doing like excessive cardio and then just like eat. Like those are some of the reasons, but it's not obviously because you like lift weights and whatever. So it could be you do nothing and then you just have like that. I don't know, like think of it. So if you lose a lot of fat, I mean, you lose a lot of like weight, it could, and you have a lot of fat, then you lose weight from muscle. So you have barely any muscle. And that comes basically from cardio or dieting. It's not any other reason. So you can't not do anything and then eat a lot. And then have low weight. You know what I mean?
Am I understanding it correctly that sort of these people, they might actually be on this health trip where they do a lot of cardio in with the goal of losing weight, right? But then they don't counterbalance that with actually trying to gain muscle. So they only try to lose weight by doing a lot of cardio, and they do actually lose weight, but in that process they also lose muscle. And they don't counterbalance it with any like weightlifting or anything, which would, you know, help them lose the weight from the cardio or like the fat or whatever, but then also would help them increase the muscle so that they would come out at like a balance point again.
Yes.
Is that correct, like, roughly?
Yes. That's one of the potential reasons.
Okay.
Because it's not a scientific term. There's not a lot of, so people call it that, but skinny fat is not a thing. And then other reasons can just be like hormone levels are bad, like wrong, and then stress, sleep, and all of that are just wrong. So I don't know, I still have to look into the reasons why I might be like that, because it's still a shock and I don't really understand it. But now I know how to, like, now the approach is kind of different to maybe like my meal plan that I was gonna do. And then even if I do weight training, I have to like prioritize it a bit more, I guess, and then just like keep checking my body fat percentage, like, I guess every year to see if what I'm doing is actually changing. And if it's not, then the reasons are other reasons that I need to be looking at. I don't know. It was kind of, I don't really know what to do. It's,
yeah,
it makes sense.
But I think the moral of the story is definitely, or should definitely be, that, you know, we have this perception of ourselves, of our health specifically. And, you know, again, we've mentioned this before, like both of us are wearing the Whoop straps and we have this. So within that, you know, ecosystem, you can build these communities where you have different people wearing the same device and you can sort of compare the data. And I very often, like very frequently, look at your data and I'm always impressed because it looks really good. Like recently I had my highest like strain score because I did like a really long run, like out of the blue, like a 16-17 kilometer run. And I got 19.1 for the strain out of 21. So that's pretty high. And I was like, there is no way she ever got as high of a score as I got. And then I checked your profile. You literally got the same or like a slightly even higher score like recently. And I was like, damn, she's doing really well. And then you have very frequent exercising. So it usually gives you like the last 30 days. And you usually have at least 2/3 of the last 30 days worth of activities. So usually you're around like 20, 22, 23 for the last 30 days, which is like a perfect balance, I would say. It's like basically like exercising every second day or even like a bit more. So that's really good. You also seem to have like good recovery levels and everything. So yeah, I can assume that like it might have been a bit of a shock. Obviously, like this is not the only like metric that like gives a perfect and like fully comprehensive image of your health, but it is one, of course, and I would argue that it's probably like still a very important one. But I guess just to come back to that, like the moral of the story should probably be we have this perception, right? Because we feel like, okay, we're doing like we're exercising, we're, you know, we're passionate about health, so of course we should be healthy, because who's passionate about health and then has like bad scores or like metrics, right? So we have this perception, but then reality can actually turn out quite different. And then it can be a shock, but I think it's still like the thing we have to do. I mean, you're confronting yourself with the cold, hard reality, right? You can buy a cheap scale on Amazon and it will also like maybe give you like some kind of body weight or like fat percentage thing. And, you know, you can like keep buying like new scales that like have like scores that you like, right? Just so you feel good about yourself. But then this is like probably like I guess like the DEXA scan currently probably the highest, like gives you the highest accuracy in terms of body fat, body composition, all of that kind of stuff. So like you confronted yourself with the reality of that part of your health. And I think that's like still the best thing you can do, right? Because now at least you know where you stand and you can, you know, map out your journey from here. But if you didn't have that, you probably would have thought like, oh, everything's going fine. I look fit. I feel healthy. My whoop scores are good. Like I beat Anna all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the whole purpose of it. Because when I did it last year, the body practice thing, and I estimated it was like normal. I could have just stuck with that. But
yeah,
it was normal and it made sense in like what I thought of myself, so I could have just stuck with that, but I wanted a more accurate, and I wanted like approach and more information also, because it does give you more things and it gives you muscle imbalances as well. So for the gym, that's really important, because I have much more muscle in one of like my arms, and I know I need to train that imbalance and make sure that, because not only for like aesthetics, it's very important for health to have like body like balance in terms of muscle. And then it shows you from your arms, your like around your ribs, so your core, I guess, pelvis, and then legs. So it's basically all of like the main body parts, which is really important. So it's also like for actual weightlifting, and I wanted to see that. And in terms of that, I don't have like imbalances, which is good. At least there's something like positive. And it also tells you the ratio between your body, your upper body and lower body. So, and that's normally like genetic. So it's called, it's two weird names. It starts with an A and the other one with a G. I don't remember. But it shows you the ratio. And what I was saying, it's normally that ratio doesn't really vary normally. And it's kind of genetic. So it's something very good to see, because you know where you normally tend to gain more weight or more fat or muscle in general. So it's also just like a good thing to know, even if you already know, because you like look at yourself. But I don't know, it gives you a lot of information that you normally wouldn't have, and scientific information that it's just, you can't say, well, no, this is not true, because they literally scan your body.
Yeah. No, it sounds very good. It seems like a no-brainer now to do the same.
Yeah.
Especially expensive. Like the symmetry thing seems pretty interesting also, because I, for example, know by fact that I have like an asymmetry when it comes to like muscles. My entire left side is like stronger, like my left arm is bigger. Like if I flex my arm, like you can see the difference. Like my left leg is stronger, even though like I'm right-handed, which is I guess maybe somewhat weird, right? I don't know. It's very strange. And yeah, and I think especially like these things, especially like the symmetry thing, for example, I always think about this like so often. We're still pretty young, right? Our bodies haven't gone through all that much, right? Already like a couple of years of lifetime, but not too much, right? They're still pretty flexible and malleable and all that kind of stuff. But I look at older people, like the generation of my parents and like even older people, and you see just like certain things accumulate, right? If you have a really bad posture, for example, and you don't fix that throughout like your 20s, your 30s, things are just getting worse and it'll get harder and harder to get out of that. And it'll like deform your body like more and more, and it'll just be a pain and you'll be like killing yourself, like having to deal with like different therapies or like physio, like trainings or whatever. It's a mess, right? And I often think of that, like where, like which side do I carry like the bag, like the grocery bag with? Which side do I wear my backpack on? And I feel like I always try to avoid these asymmetries, but it's impossible, right? You will have certain behaviors that are asymmetric, right? And, you know, when it comes to like muscle asymmetry, but also like the bone structure, I'm not quite sure, like if you actually like see the bone structure, almost like, yes, a, like an X-ray or something. But like, identifying these things early, right, I think would be extremely valuable, because again, I mean, that's just a fundamental concept, but if you can fix like a problem before it's gotten really bad, then obviously like it makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, it's counterintuitive, because we often don't notice these problems, or they don't affect us enough, you know, when they're still small, which makes sense, of course, which is why we don't fix them early. So I think it's like, I think it's honestly like really good that you did this, and we should get some kind of partner for DEXA scan so we can do like an ad right now. Do your first DEXA scan here, you know, 25% discount with our coupon code.
Oh my god. Yes. Also, you haven't read Outlive, right? No. The book.
Sorry?
Have you read?
No, I haven't read Outlive yet.
Okay, no. You absolutely love it. Like, buy the audiobook, if not, because I think it'd be a hard read to if you read it like physically. And then just look for a very good summary after you've read it. And then, I mean, after you've listened to it, so you can get your actual notes on it. The important things, but it just tells you so many anecdotes and things that you have to read it or listen to it. I recommend listening to it. But so what Peter says, so what you were saying about not doing anything because you don't really notice the imbalance, or it's not really bad in any way, like it doesn't stop you from doing anything right now. So that's like medicine 2.0, which is it's not based on prevention, basically. So medicine 3.0, which is what he calls it, is based on prevention, on doing these scans early on, on training for those things. So if you have an imbalance, you go to the gym to fix that muscle imbalance, or your posture, you do special exercises. So what he says is like training for centenarian decathlon, which is it's a very cool term. So centenarian as in like when you're 100, and then decathlon, it's in different, so it's not just very good at running, or it's in all of the areas kind of. He says, well, choose what you want to do when you're 100. Do you want to be able to go on a hike? Then train for going on a hike on your when you're on 100. So it's kind of like focusing your life right now for what you want to do in the future, which at the same time will have you right now. Obviously, if you're training for being to be able to go on a hike when you're 100, then you're obviously gonna be very fit now, so it's obviously gonna help. But it just gives you this focus and compares it to what people do right now, what medicine is based on right now. That it's just very good, and it focuses on everything basically. I don't know what chapter I'm on, but it's just things you heard about and you probably do. He talks about it's just everything. It's because it's so long, it covers everything. So I'd really, really recommend you to listen to it or read it, because it's very good and it's not boring at all. Like when I'm brushing my teeth, whenever I have time, and but not to like sit down and read, I just put it on instead of like listening to a podcast. You just listen to that, so and it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really interesting. I've had it on my reading list. I really like this framework of, you know, not thinking of your exercise as something you're doing, you know, for some kind of short-term benefit, or I want to look good, or I want to impress people at the gym, or I want to get laid or something, right? But actually, like, taking this centenarian decathlon, which is kind of hard to pronounce, I'm being honest, but yeah. I sort of get the gist. Yeah, I think that's such a cool framework, because, again, like, it inevitably forces you to play a long-term game. And, you know, there are these examples of people who do actually, like, exercise a lot. So I did this, like, you know, I had this job at a restaurant, like, when I was in high school. It doesn't really matter. But in that job, there was this one guy, and he and I, we actually went to the same gym. He was quite a couple of years older than me, but he was exercising, like, really frequently and, like, heavily and, like, very intensely. He was like this fairly small guy, but he was like bulked up as hell. Like his arms were as big as my head. And it was crazy. Like he was like he had like these massive hands and all that kind of stuff. So he was exercising a lot and he was pushing himself all the time in the gym. But he was probably not doing himself like a favor in terms of, you know, health, right? He was probably much more focused on like the short-term gains, like being able to flex his arm and like impress people or something. But he was probably like, he looked very like short and like contracted in his back and like sort of like, because he had such a massive chest, like it pulled him like forward. So he had sort of like a slouched back. And yeah, so I like that framework of, you know, trying to prepare for like a thing, but just putting that thing so far in the future that you sort of have to be sustainable in your exercising routines. Yeah. No, it's good. I'll try to take a look and then let's try to get to that centenarian decathlon. I'll be there first, yeah. So you'll have to cheer me on.
Well, yeah, you will. Yeah, and basically like what he says is mindset and framework is like yours basically. When I listen to it, I realize like, wow, yeah, I totally agree, and I know, and I think of you sometimes like, oh, this is like, he hasn't listened to it, but it's what he says and what he thinks. So it's I don't know, it's very, it is very similar to kind of what Brian Jones does. I mean, Preeter doesn't tell you what he does, he's just like pointing out. I mean, he does say what to do, but it's not in the Brian Johnson way. It's not a project he's talking to you about. He's just talking to you about it like overall. He does talk about science and like some genes and stuff like that. But I don't know. You'll agree with everything he says. I'm pretty sure you will.
No, but I think it's also good you mentioned, you know, that it sort of gives like a comprehensive overview over the entire subject of health.
Yeah.
And I think I would say that's probably somewhat rare to actually find. Yes. I mean, in general, like because people nowadays consume more and more short form content. So usually you get like snippets of health advice. You know, this is how you train like your zone 2 cardio thing. And it's very specific, right? And then you feel like I should do this. Then there's this guy, this is how you brush your teeth correctly. Very specific. Okay, let me do this. Yeah. And there's this other guy who's... So it's often like these snippets. And then I feel like especially if you're really like a beginner at this, right? And I mean, we've been, you know, talking and thinking about health for a pretty long time. We're probably still far from being like experts or anything, right? But I think you just, you know, very quickly end up in this thing where you just have these snippets and then you puzzle them together yourself and you just end up like making a really like weird like thing. Like you end up with the weirdest combinations of things. It's like, you know, being given like a ton of ingredients but no recipe of like how to combine them, and then you just like mix like sweet with sour stuff and like it just like the thing that comes out is just unedible or like so I think that's a that's a good thing.
He talks about
again, we should have an Amazon affiliate link for the book. You go ahead.
We keep like we'd have so many sponsors. It's like a good sponsor. Like if we were like popular, I don't care. It doesn't matter. So what I was gonna say, he talks about. I just couldn't be bothered to explain my point.
That's fine.
He talks about like zone 2 training, VO2 max. He talks about like muscle, like strength training, and then stability training. And it's just, it does give you an overview of everything. He talks about sleep, he talks about stress, he talks about genes, he talks about what he calls the 5 horsemen, which are like major diseases or things that kill people, which are basically Alzheimer's disease. So, because he also says, like, even if it doesn't kill you, you have to be able to live well. So, Alzheimer, maybe you live with it, like, for a long period of time, but you're not living like, well. So, Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease, and then, I don't know, there's more, but it just relates everything to everything. So it's a great overview. I'm just gonna stop recommending the book. You just have to read it. But just, I've learned a lot from it, honestly, and I know there's so many things I still need to fix, well, not fix, but implement basically, and it's just step by step. But the DEXA scan was like one of the first steps of it. So
yeah, I mean, it is a journey as always, right? And I do get, like, for myself, it's like even for myself, I do get frustrated with it. In general, I get frustrated sometimes because it seems like all of the really valuable things or the things that are really important, like your health, for example, like you can't push like really hard for 2 weeks and then like, quote unquote, get it, right? You don't get your health. Right. And you don't get it in a short period of time. It's just like a billing process. And, you know, like you deciding like on a Wednesday afternoon, like tired after like a long day of uni, you deciding to still go to the gym or like go on a run, that's not going to make you like super healthy the next morning. But it's still part of that process. Right. It's frustrating. But again, I guess just like all great things take time to build. And also like health specifically, like you have to preserve it, right? Which makes it even more frustrating. So I think you sort of like have to find a way to actually also like enjoy the process, because otherwise it's just like you're not going to get that end thing, and then you're not going to get to keep it if you don't keep pushing at it.
I totally agree. And for me, it's helped so much to actually learn about it, because you know that health is important, you know things about health, but I feel like I need to know more, and knowing more has made me more likely to follow the journey, obviously, but to stick to it and to make a framework around it. Obviously, information, you need information to do all of those things, but you can do it with a bit of information. You can build your training routine with a TikTok that you see that they're telling you how to do it. But it's just when you have the whole picture and you have your reason why and your system's kind of set in place with that information, with a whole, so you can have your gym routine, but that's just part of it. It's not the thing. So you need to set that, your sleep, your everything. And when you know you're setting, like, you're building the tree, when you're making it, makes it more likely that I can stick to the branch because I know I'm building the tree. Whereas if I just look at the branch as a thing, like specifically, it's just much more like, it's just much harder to actually do it and stick to it. Even if it's the same thing, it's just the look on it and the perspective is just so different.
Yeah, I think you summarized that perfectly. That was like a perfect explanation. And I think it highlights a very important point, you know, which we can sort of derive from this Dexascan story. And also like you reading this book. Like, of course, like when you begin with something, like anything, it's always difficult for like a multitude of reasons, right? Often you lack, I don't know, like maybe like whatever it may be, but let's just take health as an example. Like you might lack the time, so you might lack certain resources. You might lack the money to pay for a gym subscription. You might lack like equipment, so again, resources, right? But then also like one of the big things which, you know, you inevitably lack at the beginning of starting anything is knowledge, right? And the lack of knowledge often just creates this massive friction. Because if you take like a toddler, for example, and let's just assume the toddler can actually speak and understand me, and I tell the toddler, well, get your health on track, right? The toddler's going to be like, what the heck, Arne? Where am I? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I know nothing about health, right? So it creates this massive friction because the person doesn't know where to start. And doesn't know, like, even if they start somewhere, it's often, again, like, hard to pinpoint how that fits into the bigger thing. And you feel like you're going nowhere because you can't actually, like, see what you're doing right now and how you're adding to this thing called health, which is your overall goal. And so, I mean, what you basically just described is, you know, by now having this overview over the branch, it still means you have all of that work in front of you, right? Like nothing has changed about the work. You still need to, you know, exercise, you still need to eat, all that kind of stuff. But by having this overview, you reduce the big friction of the lack of knowledge by having gained that knowledge through, for example, like reading Outlive by Peter Thiel. And so now at least it's straightforward to you and you can sort of like fit pieces in. And I definitely agree that that definitely helps overcome like this whole motivation barrier and this whole, you know, procrastination stuff, because you just understand why it's important. And I think also specifically for health, you know, having this overview, the knowledge, it also just creates the sense of urgency. Because health is super personal, right? We experience it ourselves. Like we can look at ourselves and we can see the imperfections. Some of them, at least. As we've learned today, we can't see all of them, right? Some things, you know, remain hidden and we think it's all fine, right? But it's still there. But, you know, having that knowledge, it creates this urgency because, and especially if you have these analogies, you know, that's something I really dislike. Like some people say, oh, I don't need to read the book. I can just read the summary or something. And sort of the argument being, well, why do you need all of that in between like filler stuff when you can just get straight to the point with the summary? Well, the point is like these analogies, even though you're probably not going to remember them in like 2 months or something, they just enforce like this urgency that you need to take care of your health now, not tomorrow, not yesterday. Well, yesterday would obviously be like better, but today, because you know these things are coming up, like the five horsemen are coming for you, like they're already riding behind you. They might still be fairly far away from you, but they're already like rushing towards you, so you better start like moving in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. That's also the main thing why I'm listening to the book instead of reading it, because, well, yes, it might be better to like read it and then take like highlight it, take notes on it or whatever. The thing is, getting that information, listening to it, having that overview, having your tree, and building that all, and then just taking what you need after you build that, you know, like starting from the top. And then I found the like a summary also to like a really good one. I found it on Reddit, and then I know once I finish the book, I'll look into that, and then I'll read the summary, and I'll take what I need from the summary. But before, you have to take it all. You have to, I don't know, you have to be conscious of what you're doing. And now my nose is blocking.
Yeah.
My talking.
So you can talk. No worries. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it's great. I think that's a great metaphor, or just like a picture to keep in mind, you know, building that tree. We've talked about this multiple times, like even for like yeah. exam preparation, like building your knowledge tree. Yeah, we just keep repeating ourselves, but we need to enforce it. Like same with the book, right? The book yeah. brings like another analogy and another analogy and another analogy for the same concept to really ingrain those concepts. And just, I think we can probably use this as like a closing remark, but you know, by, you know, adopting like that new knowledge, you sort of, I mean, that's like a whole different concept, but you know, by adopting new knowledge about something, knowledge that you didn't previously had, you sort of have to also like shift your identity, right? Because now you're not the person who doesn't like, who only knows a little bit about health. Now you actually do, like you are the identity and the person now who has that overview. Right. And then you sort of have to carry or like, yeah, carry the burden of that knowledge, right? By either, you know, by either adopting responsibility and acting in accordance with that new knowledge, or by trying to deny it or like try to sneak your way around. But you can't, you know, get rid of that knowledge anymore. Right. So it also pushes you into like, it gives you some kind of accountability. By having the knowledge, you can't use the excuse anymore. Well, I didn't know about this, right? Now, you know, you have the DEXA scan, you have the numbers there. So I think it just puts you in a better position. And yeah, so final remarks, good job for doing the DEXA scan. I think it's a really good step. You're probably one of the very few like super young people on this planet who intentionally and like willingly and by themselves, you know, organized like a DEXA scan and who's using that as like a starting point. So you should be proud of yourself. And let's hope we can inspire a lot of people to take the same steps or at least similar steps, you know, in the direction of a healthy and, yeah, just like fulfilling life that's based on like a healthy foundation.